Welcome back to another broadcast. I'm looking at Psalm chapter number 9 and verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I've been memorizing this passage of Scripture in my personal devotions, and I think it's pertinent to the topic of discussion, especially what we've been talking about the last two broadcasts. And we're talking about traumatic events in people's lives, looking at trauma. What is trauma? What does it look like? What are possible events? And what are some outcomes? We're going to talk about outcomes or conditions that a person might be experiencing, or an attitude or outlook on life based on the trauma that they have. Many times we think trauma is just something that war veterans experience. I remember when I worked in a steel mill, we were up on a crane and we were troubleshooting something, I forget. And I had a Christian friend of mine next to me. And when we got up there, some pigeons had taken off and flew away, and he became terrified. And as we finally dealt with whatever the problem was, got back to the shop, we talked about it. And he said, you know, it really gets him going, and he really gets anxious, and he's able to deal with them, but it was really a surprise to him. It really set him back. I said, well, why? He says, it's been like that ever since I was a kid. And he was about 4 or 5 years old, and his grandparents had a chicken coop. And of course, they told him to stay out of the chicken coop, and he didn't listen, and he opened the door, and he went into the chicken coop, and he got onto the far side of the chicken coop. And next thing you know, the chickens came over to him, and they were jumping and trying to fly as chickens do, because they really can't fly that well. Jumping and flapping, and he was trapped in the corner of all of these birds fluttering him. And for him, that was a traumatic event that controlled him for so many years. You think of individuals, boys or girls out playing, and you've heard of neighborhood dogs that have attacked somebody and severely bit them. These events can be traumatizing, but also events where parents who do not function as parents are biblically intended to function, when they fall short, especially when they terribly fall short, their actions can be traumatic. You take a little child who's crying to his mom for help, or she's crying to her mom for help, and the mother, whatever problem she has in her life, she either backhands or she strikes her child, or because her marriage is not going well, she takes out her frustration and anger on her children. They may do something wrong, and instead of a discipline that meets biblical guidelines, they take out their anger, and they beat, and they punch, and they hit, and they slap, and they kick. I preached one time about this, and just the Holy Spirit told me to say, and someone took a broom and broke it across your back, and who was visiting but a mother and a daughter, and the mother had broken a broom across the daughter's back recently. What's the effect of that? They'll get over it. No, they don't get over it. They're traumatic events for people. They are events that wound them at the core of their being. Wounds them to where they just don't naturally get over it. Incest, molestation, rape, gangs beating up somebody, a car accident, and a person dies, or you get severely injured, or you don't get injured. There's quite a few instances that people experience in life that are considered traumatic events. And when they greatly wound them, this person is wounded to the part where they're not able to stand on their own. And of course, we could be like Job's friends and we could point a hypocritical finger at them, but that's not what they need. What they're going to need is a person who is strong in the faith, who will come alongside of them, the Holy Spirit in them, physically coming alongside somebody to encourage them and support them. We're going to talk about that. We'll probably not get to that part of the discussion in this broadcast, but we are going to talk about it in a future broadcast. What I want to talk about in this broadcast is what are the effects of a person who's been traumatized, and we're going to look once again at the life of Job. But before we go there, let's look and see that in the bottom line of the equation is that the Lord is your hope, and the Lord is your answer. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, here it is, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So let's look and see what has happened to Job in his life, and what are the ramifications or the results of a person who's been traumatized. Well, if you weren't with us in the last broadcast, what were his traumatic events? His traumatic events were loss of all his possessions, the murder of his servants, the natural catastrophe, the loss of his family, the loss of his help, abandonment from those who were close to him, and for him it was his wife no longer supporting him. He was all alone. And that was another traumatic event for him. And then the social rejection and judgment. And we saw when we go to chapter 42, verse 11, that all of his friends and family relatives come back to him and they celebrate his recovery and the blessing that the Lord gave him. So all of these people had rejected him. We easily see it in the three friends of Job, but society as a whole rejected him. Not only was he wounded from some of the events that seemed clear, but this complete rejection of family, friends, and network of friends is so severely wounding. So, what does Job tell us? Job tells us that the tragedy of the event that he's experienced was greater than the sum of blessings in his life. So if you took all the blessings that Job ever had prior to this great trial that he's in, add them all together and gave them a value, Job states by his words, and we will look at them, that all of that together is not as big as the tragedy that he's experiencing. And he thinks it's better that he wasn't even born. And so he's saying, this is so terrible. Losing out on all the blessings that I already have is not so much a big deal because of how bad this is. It'd be better if I wasn't even born. Now, how does he say it? He says it in Job chapter 3. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let the darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. And he goes on and he goes on. Look at verse 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. And if you read this whole discourse of his first response, you know, to the trial that he's in, he's basically saying, it would be better if I was never born. If you took all of the blessings and you added them all up and they came to a million, the number value that I put on these tragedies or this trauma that I'm in is bigger than the number 1 million. And so much bigger, it's not even a, ooh, what should I decide? It's a no-brainer. it be better off to miss out on all those and die than to experience what I'm experiencing now. So for you or me to look at somebody who's been raped by somebody they don't know, that's terrible. Rape by somebody that they know, that's worse. Rape by somebody who's supposed to protect you and supposed to love you like a family member, that's even worse. And can you picture them walking around with this gaping wound in their soul because of the traumatic event? And many people get to the point where Job is, it be better that I was never born. Well, I can't undo that, but you know what? I can make all of this end. And they take their life. Because this traumatic event is not something you could just say, come on, buck up. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Slap somebody in the back and say, get with it, man. Become a man. Get some manhood to you. Quit whining like a little baby. Just face up. You know, be strong. Move forward. And some will even quote the verse, forgetting those things which are behind and press toward the mark of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. And that passage has nothing to do about forgetting your trauma. It's forgetting all of your religiousness and all the works that you did, if you look at it in context, and all that Paul did. But that's what some people will say to them. And guess what you wind up doing? You wind up throwing salt on their wound. You see, because trauma is something that is so terrible, it wounds the individual at the core of their being, which causes intense feelings of fear, helplessness, and horror. Let's look at the second thing. The tragedy brought a longing for death to Job. Look at chapter 3, verse 20 and 22. If you have your book open, Job chapter 3, verse 20. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. And here he's saying, he's longing for death. And I looked at the word long for death, and it has the idea of a cord. So it's that cord is like pulling them. Their hope in death is like pulling them. And here, when he says in verse 22, who rejoice exceedingly, Job saying, if I found out right now that I was going to die and this would be over, I would just leap for joy and say, hip, hip, hooray, hallelujah, amen, I'm going to die. Yes, this is over. That is how bad it is. That's what trauma does to somebody. And the thing is, as we shared in a previous broadcast, 70% of people in America have experienced a traumatic event. Now, not all of them have been wounded this greatly. I've been in a car accident, and I've not been wounded. However, there are other people have been in auto accidents, and they've been wounded to where it has become a traumatic event for them. What do they need? They need to find the strength and the deliverance that only the Lord can provide. We really attack them and we say that they shouldn't go to the avenues or venues of help that are in society. But we as a church are not offering them the solution. If they're lost, we can offer them Christ as being their Savior. But what are we doing with those who are saved, who after salvation have experienced traumatic events and need our help? We'll talk about that at a later time. So until the next time. God bless.